as we open your word, we pray that you would open our eyes to see and our hearts to understand, that we would encounter your word and be changed, that all of us would encounter you, and that you, through your spirit, would speak through me, and that we would be in a place to receive. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk about cultivating soil. So behind me is a picture of my dad's tractor and our farm in Charlie Lake, and this tractor is what we use for all of the farming tasks, and one of those is that we have to bale about 15 acres, and so we got to plow and disc it, and one summer, Dad told me that he wanted me to plow and disc the field, so I had the privilege of doing all that work. And so what we do is you plow the field first, and then you disc it probably about six times. So your first run, you're going with the plow, since if you went diagonal, it'd be pretty bumpy. But eventually, you're working your way to break down the dirt so that it is in a right place to receive the seed. And so this tractor here, it's a beauty. So it has no cab, and it has no suspension. So out in the sun on a hot day, bumping around is pretty intense, and it's hard work. Cultivating soil is hard work. But many of farmers that are here would agree with me when I say there is nothing better than being out on the tractor in the blazing heat and bumping through the field. It's rewarding work. It's fun work, and it's important work. If you don't cultivate the field, the seed will have no place to take root. And it's no wonder that the Bible uses so much farm imagery to talk about God's work with humanity. I invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's word, and we will be reading in Isaiah 5. So if you have your Bibles, turn there, but please listen as we read God's word. Isaiah 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds, and they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is God's word. Please be seated. So as the song concludes, the vineyard is the people of Israel, and the gardener is God. And the meaning of the song cannot be separated from the metaphor. I had the pleasure of being at John's first sermon on his series Through Work, and in that first sermon, he talked about God as the creator. And as a creator, he worked to create, and then he continued to work with creation and gave humans the task to work along with him. And the Song of the Vineyard kind of continues this idea. As God is the gardener, he is working creation and he is sustaining it. And so he does the necessary work for the vineyard. He planted it on a fertile hill, he cleared the stones, planted the best vines, built a watchtower, and hewed out a wine vat. all the things that you would need to do for a successful farm, but it yielded sour grapes. Now picture this. You have a garden, and you cultivate it. You disc it 6 times. You do all the hard work. And when it comes to harvest, you have a sour crop. Now, I hope this isn't familiar to anyone, because gardens are supposed to be fruitful. But that's not how the garden is supposed to be. So Isaiah gives this rhetorical question for the vineyard in verse 4. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? So since it's a rhetorical question, God kind of continues on with what he does in the vineyard. And he does what a responsible farmer would do. He removes the hedge, breaks down the wall, and he makes it a waste. It won't be pruned or hoed, nor will it have rain. And instead of being a vineyard, it turns into a pasture. Now, in farm language, you know, that's not the worst thing. Like, if your garden's not fruitful, you know, you'll probably just till it up and you'll just turn it into pasture. But Isaiah is talking metaphorically about the people in relationship with God. Instead of righteousness, there was bloodshed. So since the people of God did not produce fruit, the vineyard was taken away. So the question is, what are we supposed to do if God is going to repurpose the vineyard despite us? What sort of action needs to take place in the vineyard? And I want to suggest that, like many passages in Scripture, you cannot isolate Isaiah 5 on its own. And in fact, there is another song of the vineyard in Isaiah 27 where there is a fruitful vineyard where God is its protector. And in between these two songs is a whole pile of judgment. And what God is doing is working the vineyard. He is doing the necessary work to create a fruitful vineyard. And these two songs project a vision over the entire book of Isaiah, that judgment is purification. That judgment is purification in preparing the garden to produce fruit. And the gospel writers believe this too. In the Gospel of John, in his 7th I Am statement of Jesus, Jesus says that I am the true vine. And what he's doing is that Jesus is taking the same language of the vineyard and employing it in new ways. So turn with me to John 15, if you please, and I will just kind of show the similarity, how John gives this same image and shows how Jesus fulfills it. So John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are purified because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So John introduces this new concept to the vineyard. We know that God is the gardener, that he does the necessary work. But now Jesus is the true vine. And the vine regenerates the vineyard to make it fruitful. As we know from the vineyard songs in Isaiah, that the vineyard needs to be purified. But now Jesus says, you are already purified through the word I have spoken to you. So now there's something more that is happening in the vineyard. And John makes this clear through repetition. You may have noticed the words that I had lit up on the screen behind me, and the two words are abide and fruit. And they're intricately connected. Jesus invites us to abide in him so that we may bear fruit and prove to be his disciples. The verb abide, also translated as remain in the NIV, means literally to stay in a place. So when Jesus calls his first disciples in John, they ask him, where are you staying? Where are you literally staying? And he says, come and see. And so to remain in Jesus is this literal place, a place where you find Jesus, to stay in Jesus. When I first started to pursue Jesus, I had a real tough time with understanding like Christian terminology and what it meant to remain in Jesus. And I didn't understand it until one day I encountered Jesus powerfully. And it was during communion. There's nothing different about this day other than this desperate need I had for Jesus and for him to be part of my life. And this encounter changed me. This was a point where that I, looking back, remember in the moment, maybe I didn't think it as much because it was quite painful. But it was a moment that started a pursuit of Jesus that would be so much more. Soon after, I started like digging into the Word a lot. I started going to the church, which when Jesus tells us to remain in him, part of it is also remaining in his body, remaining in the people of God. And as I started to do that, he started to reveal who I was. And after that, I went to Bible school, and slowly he started revealing gifts to me. And I want to take a point here just to stop and say that by no means have I made it. By no means am I at a point where I can stop abiding in the vine. And I need him. I have this progression that I've made of abiding in Jesus, but I need that every day. My role in the vineyard is to abide in the vine so that I can produce fruits and prove to be his disciple. And as a result, I find confidence in myself, love and joy and peace beyond understanding. And not only does this produce fruit in my life, but it leaks into the people around me. The people around me start experiencing what Jesus is doing in my life, and they want to taste and see it as well. And again, these are not my fruits. Apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. We can do nothing. So we must abide in the vine. My favorite part about the passage is verse 4. It's just the simple phrase, abide in me and I in you. But this simple phrase has just stuck with me and been this promise that hovers over my life. It's a mutual abiding. Abide in me and I in you. It's covenant abiding. As much as you abide in him, he abides in you. It's this covenant deal. And I wish that I could tell you that this is the simple formula. Abide in Jesus, he abides in you, and life is good. And I told you about the good fruits in my life, but there's another important element of the vineyard. It needs to be pruned. And if we're honest, when we read verses 2 and 6, it's a little bit uncomfortable. Some of the branches need to be pruned so they can bear more fruit. The ones that don't bear fruit are put in a pile and burned. And here's where the Song of the Vineyard comes helpfully into play. It had all the right things, but it needed to be judged. It was missing purification. I used to think that God's judgment was this terrible thing at the end of time when God would just destroy everything. And God is just. He will have the final say. He will have a way with evil. But his judgment is so much more than a one-time shot. His judgment is active daily. His judgment is discipline. I'll say it again. His judgment is discipline. It's pruning the garden. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it can bear more fruit. After I started following Jesus, I learned this the hard way. My dream after high school was to be a hockey player. I wanted to be a professional hockey player. And shortly after, I learned that that had become an idol in my life. And God pruned that. He later redeemed it for me, but it was something that was getting in the way of him. And I think what was happening in my life is the verse, ask for whatever you wish and it'll be done for you, was sort of my way to manipulate God of what I needed. What I thought I needed in that moment. But it doesn't work like that. To abide in the vine is to undergo pruning. To understand what he wants. And to help explain this, Matthew and Luke, they both have a verse that talks about asking in prayer. And Luke says something very helpful for, I think, what this means. And it's in Luke 11:13. And it says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So in other words, asking for whatever you wish is asking for more of God's Spirit. For asking for more of him so that we could be changed. Because that is really what we need. We need more of him. We need to remain in the place that he is. And I've come to expect in my own life and anticipate the pruning that he does to me. Because when he does, I change and I bear fruit and prove to be his disciple. And again, I'll suggest there's never a moment where I've made it, where we've made it. Because that would defeat the whole purpose of the vine. The good news about the vineyard is that God interacts with it. He works it to make it fruitful. To conclude, I want to reiterate kind of the three main points that I talked about the vineyard. And the first one is that God is at work. He worked to create, and he continues to work to sustain. He didn't just create the world, the vineyard, to just leave it to its own ways. He is intricately involved in the vineyard. As the farmer, he does the necessary work for it to produce a crop. And that does mean judgment, that does mean pruning. But it also means the second point, to remain in Jesus. Remain in Jesus, the place where he stays. Not out, not beside, not part way. You're looking for the place that you're most likely to see him. And I'd suggest that being here this morning is one of those places. And this is also the part in thinking about cultivating soil where I feel like remaining in Jesus is intricately connected. Because when you cultivate soil, when you prepare it, you're preparing it for the seed. And so when you do the hard work, the necessary work for Jesus to be in your life, you're making yourself ready to receive him. You're putting yourself in a place that Jesus can remain in you. And lastly, the fun one, expect pruning. And don't be discouraged when you're going through a tough time. I know early on in following Jesus, it was really hard. I wondered if it was worth it because it just seemed like there was more that went bad. But really, that was so needed. I would not be here today if it was not for the work that God has done in my life to change me. But his pruning produces fruits. His vineyard is fruitful. The vineyard is God's creation. He does all the necessary work for it to flourish. He judges it to purify it and prunes it for it to bear more fruit. Jesus invites us to abide in him so that we may bear fruit and prove to be his disciples. Jesus invites us to abide in him so that we may bear fruit and prove to be his disciples. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are involved in the vineyard, that you have created it, but you are intimately connected with it, and you know everything about your vineyard. You do all the work that needs to be done. You prune. And so, Lord, we pray for your spirit, for more of you. Teach us how to abide. Teach us how to remain in the vine and become fruitful disciples that show the people around us your love, Jesus. We thank you for the work you're doing in the vineyard and that Emily and I can be here this weekend to be part of what you're doing. And yeah, we pray that you would be the one who's shown through all of this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our last song, Jesus Strong and Kind.
We can always run to Jesus. That's an amazing promise for us. We can always run to him. Thank you, Jaredyn, for your word. I think you left something for all of us to be thinking about as we go, but I don't want you to go because we are going to have potluck, okay? So you never know what's going to be at a potluck, right? So you want to stay and see. So everyone's invited. Whether you brought food or not, I want you to know that you're welcome to stay. We are going to need some help setting up tables, so we're going to have to stack the chairs, and then we're going to run the tables. There's quite a few of us here, so we're going to run the tables lengthways, make about 6 rows of tables, and there'll be tables in Mallard Place for the food. I'll give directions for the food when we get all set up, but if you can help stack and put up chairs, that would be great. So I'm going to pray to close our service, pray for our lunch as well, and then please do stick around. Father, we want to just thank you that we can always run to you. Thank you that you are at work in our lives, in the vineyard. And God, help us just to remain in you. And God, we want to also thank you for the opportunity we have to get to know Jaredyn and Emily during our potluck. And we just want to pray a blessing over our meal together and the fellowship that we are going to share together as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace, but stay.